Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, Remembrance of Lord Krishna, text number 12. Yan macha lilo pae kam sayoka. Mayabalam darshyatha grihitam. Shmapanam sasya chan subhagadhid subhagharade param param bhushana bhushanangham. Yat His eternal form, which Marcha, mortal world, Lila Upayakam, just suitable for the pastimes, Svayogamaya Bhalam, potency of the internal energy. Darishyata, for manifestation. Grihitam, discovered. Bhishmapanam, wonderful. Svasya, of his own. Cha, and. Subhagaridhe, of the opulent, Param, supreme, Padam, ultimate stand, Bhushana, ornament, Bhushana Angam, of the ornaments. Translation: The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus his, Sri Krishna's, transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. So the translation? Let's do that responsibly. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone. Even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself. In his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus his, Sri Krishna's, transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In conformity with the Vedic hymns, Nicho Nichananam, Chaitanas Chaitananam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is more excellent than all other living beings within all the universes in the material world. He is the chief of all living entities. No one can surpass him or be equal to him in wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, or renunciation. When Lord Krishna was within this universe, he seemed to be a human being because he appeared in a manner just suitable for his pastimes in the mortal world. He did not appear in human society in his Vaikuntha feature with four hands because that would not have been suitable for his pastimes. But in spite of his appearing as a human being, no one was or is equal to him in any respects in any of the six different opulences. Everyone is more or less proud of his opulence in this world, but when Lord Krishna was in human society, he excelled all his contemporaries within the universe. When the Lord's pastimes are visible to the human eye, they are called prakata. And when they are not visible, they are called aprakata. In fact, the Lord's pastimes never stop, just as the sun never leaves the sky. The sun is always in its right orbit in the sky, but it is sometimes visible and sometimes invisible to our limited vision. Similarly, the pastimes of the Lord are always current in one universe or another, and when Lord Krishna disappeared from the transcendental abode of Dwarka, it was simply a disappearance from the eyes of the people there. It should not be misunderstood that his transcendental body, which is just suitable for the pastimes in the mortal world, is in any way inferior to his different expansions in the Vaikuntha Lokas. His body manifested in the different material world is transcendental par excellence, in the sense that his pastimes in the mortal world excel his mercy displayed in the Vaikuntha Lokas. In the Vaikuntha Lokas, the Lord is merciful toward the liberated or Nitya Mukta living entities, but in his pastimes in the mortal world, he is merciful even to the fallen souls who are Nitya Baddha or conditioned forever. The six excellent opulences which he displayed in the mortal world by the agency of his internal potency, Yoga Maya, are rare even in the Vaikuntha Lokas. All his pastimes were manifested not by the material energy but by his spiritual energy. The excellence of his Rasa Leela at Vrindavan and his householder life with 16,000 wives is wonderful even for Narayan in Vaikuntha, and is certainly so for other living entities within this mortal world. His pastimes are wonderful even for other incarnations of the Lord, such as Sri Ram, Nrisimha, and Varaha. His opulence was so super excellent that his pastimes were adored even by the Lord of Vaikuntha, who is non-different from Lord Krishna himself. Yanmacha lilopaikam swayoga mayabalam darshiyatha grihitam vishmapanam swasyacha subhagadhe paramparam bhushanam bhushanangam. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus his, Sri Krishna's transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. So this section of the Bhagavatam, which introduces some elevated topics about Lord Krishna's own spiritual form. This is a great stumbling block, actually, for many people who try to understand Krishna, because it appears that he died. It appeared that, you know, Krishna was killed, and Balaram, and in fact, all of his immense family. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, the topics of Krishna are explained by Śrīla Vyāsadeva. He describes himself that he explained them for the less intelligent. Not that they're unintelligent, I'm not saying that, but that there are others more intelligent. So, you know, Vaishyas, Shudras, you know, he includes women, you know, so the men, the women, all that group. Even the you know, the topics of Krishna are not very much understood even by the Brahmanas. Literally, one has to be you know, situated in bhakti in order to understand Krishna's transcendental teachings. A very, very difficult subject. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that amongst, you know, many, many thousands among men, one may endeavour for perfection. You know, they try to understand the nature of the soul. They may try to come to the Brahminical platform and study the Vedas. And they may take up Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga, you know, like this, or Karma Yoga, in order to, but for the purpose of self-realisation. Amongst thousands of those, hardly one will achieve that perfection of understanding the spiritual self. And among those, it is, you know, even more rare, amongst many thousands of those who will actually understand Krishna. So, you know, it is very difficult to understand. And people generally don't even understand the Bhagavad Gita, which is the ABCs, just introducing the concept that there is a God and that he is the source of all the demigods and the material and the spiritual manifestations, the source of everything, and that person is Lord Sri Krishna. So this is, you know, difficult to understand. Then we hear, if we study the Bhagavad Gita, then we may hear, well, that person who spoke the Bhagavad Gita and described himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he died. So, you know, it is a great stumbling block for one's understanding. These things are so difficult to understand that without approaching a spiritual master, it will not be possible. Without, just like if one wants to be an engineer, if someone thinks that they will be a highly qualified engineer or a doctor or a mechanic, without approaching someone to teach them that science, you know, it is almost impossible. What to speak of the spiritual science, which is, you know, amongst millions and millions of people. You know, this world is full of mechanics, doctors, engineers, bricklayers, so many people. But those who know the science of the self, you know, they're very rare. So a very difficult science. What to speak of the science of Krishna, it has to be understood by one who is fixed in that knowledge. And of course, these things, the symptoms of such a guru described in the scriptures. Here we have the opportunity to hear from Uddhava. Yeah. What a wonderful person to hear about these topics. So, you know, we have the Bhagavad Gita, And then we see in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's Uddhava Gita, which is considered to be even more elevated topics than what Krishna spoke. So here he's introducing something which will be taken up more, very elaborately in the 11th canto. But he's summarizing in order to, he's going to, he's absorbed in Krishna's pastimes because Vidura has approached him. Krishna has left this world and he's absorbed in those pastimes. He doesn't want people to think that he is, absorbed in some nonsense. So he's expressing. He's very, very qualified. Uddhava is a very, very intelligent personality. He accepted a spiritual master. Krishna sent him. Krishna personally instructed him. He was instructed by various other Vaishnavas. Krishna sent him to Vrindavan to be instructed by the gopis of Vrindavan. He was the cousin of Krishna, in the sense that Krishna appeared in this world and was able to have a very intimate, brotherly, friendly relationship with Uddhava. They were very, very close. He sent Uddhava, knowing that Uddhava had such a confidential understanding of Krishna in his pastimes, he chose him above all others to go to Vrindavan to perceive his Vrindavan pastimes through the eyes of the gopis. So a very, very elevated person. You won't find anyone more qualified to hear of these topics than Uddhava. So that is, the gurus in the line from Krishna, we follow these descriptions by such personalities. We follow the opinion of Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that he accepted what Krishna said, and that one may question Uddhava and Arjuna, they're closely associated with Krishna. Perhaps they're just, speaking very fondly of someone they're intimately associated. No, but they describe that all the acharyas, sort of Vyasadeva himself, and the various Puranas and scriptures, they all concur this same point, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the question is that one may be thinking, after hearing that Lord Krishna has disappeared, that, when he disappeared, did that form of Krishna go to Vaikuntha? If that is an eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where does that eternal form, did he go to Vaikuntha after leaving here? And of course, we understand from this verse that Uddhava is expressing that in Vaikuntha, the Lord is there in his forearm form. So, this form of Krishna would not go to the Narayan planets where the various expansions of the Lord are there in his forearm forms. This form of Krishna is described in the verse here. He came in his eternal form. So, it is an eternal form. So, when this form disappears, appears to be vanquished in this world, what happens? So, that form does not go to Vaikuntha. Srila Prabhupada speaks here that that form is, that form, of course, of Krishna, who appeared in Dwarka, who appeared to, not appeared in Dwarka, but his pastimes appeared there in Dwarka, he is eternally situated in Dwarka. Not by Kuntaloka, where the forearm forms of the Lord, but actually the Lord is eternally situated in Dwarka. That transcendental abode, Dwarka, which is situated within the Krishna Loka planet, is also able to be, it is also sometimes manifest here, that same abode. Krishna's Krishna Loka has three different features for Krishna's pastimes there. Krishna Loka in the spiritual world manifests the Dwarka pastimes of the Lord, the Mathura pastimes, and the Vrindavan pastimes. In Dwarka, the form of Krishna manifests the sweet aspect of Krishna's form is a little covered by his feature as in opulence. So it's not that that form of the Lord is less sweet. The feature of opulence may obscure, you know, the sweetness of Krishna's form. And in Mathura, the element of sweetness in Krishna's form and pastimes increases, and the opulence of Krishna's form and pastimes as the personality of Godhead diminishes. And in Vrindavan, the feature of opulence, which is there fully, but it is obscured because the feature of sweetness is so fully manifesting in his form and pastimes. So these different features of Goloka Vrindavan are there, and that Goloka Vrindavan manifests, it can be sometimes manifest in this material world as Dwarka, Mathura and Vrindavan as well. But just like if one goes to Vrindavan now, one will not see the manifest pastimes of Krishna. But that does not mean that. But some souls who go to Vrindavan or reside in Vrindavan can still perceive the manifest pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. We see that Rupa Goswami and the various Goswamis of Vrindavan, when they resided there, sometimes the pastimes of Krishna became manifest to them, even though they had been, they're generally considered unmanifest since Krishna departed 5,000 years ago. Just like one time, I think it was Rupa Goswami wrote a poem about Srimati Radharani, that her hair was beautifully braided and appeared like a black snake. Sanatana Goswami read that and said, I think that's a bit offensive, describing Radharani's hair like a black snake. And he was, one time, he may have been chanting or something, but the pastimes of Radharani and the gopis manifested. When he saw Radharani, he thought there was a snake, and he went to tell her, and then, he went to remove the snake, and when he got a little closer, he realized, oh no, this is her beautiful hair, as it appears like a black. And then he, realized that Rupa Goswami's descriptions were exact, because, sometimes the pastimes are manifest to those personalities. But so they call prakata or apakata, but the Lord's pastimes and his abode, of course, is eternally manifest. Prabhupada describes here that you know, we can understand this, that you know, just like the sun never leaves the sky, so sometimes the sun appears to disappear from our vision, but actually, you know, intelligently we understand it is manifest somewhere, but for our vision it is somewhat unmanifest. But it's also an important analogy, because we can't just artificially make the sun manifest. You know, it manifests by its own accord, not because, you know. So, and similarly, Krishna's pastimes become manifest by his own accord. We cannot force God, you know, you show me yourself, you know, show me God, you know, show me the Dharma. Just like someone, the sun disappeared. Someone's been in solitary confinement. They come out, it's all dark. They say, oh, there's no sun anymore. No, the sun's there. Oh, show me the sun. No, you have to wait for morning, in the morning. So this example is given. But this form of Krishna, it's an eternal form, and his form of Krishna is a human-like form. Human-like, we say, because you know, he has two arms and two legs and, you know, all the features of a human being, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore it's human-like. He's not actually a human being. He doesn't have a physical human body. And this is manifest in the... we, as Prabhupada describes in the first part of the purport, that when he appeared, he is being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How do we know he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because the Vedic scriptures give a description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nicho nichananam titanas titananam. The Personality of Godhead is more excellent than all other living beings within all the universes in the material world. So, you know, it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that all the incarnations of the Lord are mentioned. Therefore, no one can imitate the personality of Godhead. So, it's not necessarily that all of the particular names and pastimes of each and every incarnation of the Lord are mentioned. That is not possible. But, certainly... for the every avatar, every incarnation, every manifestation of the Supreme Lord, they share the same qualities. Nicho nichananam chetanas chetananam. This is mentioned in the scriptures, that no one can claim to be the personality of Godhead, or no one can refute someone to be the personality of Godhead if they have these qualities. And we see that Krishna manifested these qualities even though he... So he appeared like a human being, but we understand he's not a human being. It's human-like. He's actually the Supreme Lord, because no one could equal him or surpass him in wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, or renunciation. So there are many examples of these, because we won't go into them. But you know, we see that Krishna's strength, that he lifted the Govardhan Hill. He was 7 years old, just the little finger, the left hand. Usually your right arm is stronger than the left. It wasn't even his good hand. It wasn't even his strongest finger, his left hand.
7 days.
7 days. Lifted him out. You know, now, you know, we see people that they can pull a bus down the street by their hair or their teeth or something, but... You know, let them do that. So, beauty, you know, there are many so-called avatars, you know, not so attractive. Some have fuzzy hair. But knowledge, You know, Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, you know, it is unsurpassed. You know, who writes a book and, you know, for thousands and thousands, we'll speak of millions if we understand its actual history, you know, even the greatest scholars, are studying, you know, the wisdom and find it difficult to understand because, you know, they understand this book is, you know, like an ocean of vast knowledge. So much that it's very difficult for me to understand. Even the greatest, you know, scientists and philosophers and personalities. So, renunciation. Bhishma said. People said, you know, people in the Rajasuya Yajna, people said, Bhishma, you are so renounced. You took this vow. You don't associate with the opposite sex. And Bhishma said, I'm renunciation, that is Krishna. He said, if I was dancing or in the association of those beautiful gopis, you know, so there's so many, you know, thousands and thousands of the most beautiful women, is I could not do that. And Krishna is, you know, unchanged. So, fame. Who can be more famous than Krishna? Wealth. We saw. I think just for his children, just to educate his children, I think he had a million. I think it was a million. I think it was more. No, it was over a million. Teachers. You know, just to teach. You know, we struggle to. We think, you know. These days people think, you know, well, I have a child, you know, can I afford to educate one child over the course of a lifetime? Mm-hmm. Imagine you have to pay, you know, a million teachers. That's just the teachers. I don't speak of anything else. No one. There's no one in the history. You can study every personality within the history of the whole world. Even the various incarnations of the Lord. Yeah. Even Ram. You know. Vishnu. You won't find in the history anyone who compares with Krishna on any account. So, therefore, nityo nityananam chaitanas chaitananam, although he appears to be a human being, he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifesting himself as that person that no one can surpass on any level. But he appears in his eternal, because God is eternal, so he is appearing in his eternal form, which is suitable for human pastimes. Prabhupada mentions somewhere, I think, that, it wouldn't be, for Krishna to manifest the most intimate, loving relationships, confidential relationships with the Supreme Lord, he appears in his human-like form. Just like, you know, when Krishna appeared in his forearm form, Devaki, you know, she was thinking, what will I say? That, you know, she wanted to see a little baby in her lap. I've just given birth. You know, she wanted to see a little baby she could hold and hug. You know, what will I say? And when people see me, you know, how do I breastfeed the forearm form of Narayan? You know, it's just incompatible. You see? So, for his intimate pastime, more confidential, his human-like form is there. And actually, only in that form of Krishna, he's called Kila Rasamrita. Murti. He's the form that's a personification of all, the reservoir of all rasas. You cannot have that with even though Narayan or Vishnu, you know, they're non-different from the Supreme Lord. You cannot have, if you go to Vaikuntha Loka, generally you can have up to Dasya Ras. Santa Ras, Dasya Ras. In awe and reverence. But for, you know, the more intimate friendship that is there in Dwarka, and then also we're introduced to, you know, parental and conjugal love, which becomes more and more intimate and confidential from Dwarka Mathura to Vrindavan. So he appeared in that form, that form, you know, one may consider that, well, if that human form doesn't belong in Vaikuntha, because it is a human-like form, but we accept he is non-different from Narayan, but he doesn't belong in Vaikuntha, then, you know, is that form somehow inferior to the Lord of Vaikuntha? No. Because the pastimes that the Lord manifested as Krishna were wonderful and attractive even for Lord Vishnu and Lord Narayan. Therefore we see that Mahavishnu, he contrived a situation, this is in 10th canto, chapter 89, where he kidnapped the Brahmana's sons, and you know, Arjun had to take a vow that if I cannot stop this situation, I will enter into fire. And he was about to enter into fire and kill himself because he could not actually stop the children from disappearing. As the Brahmana's you know, wife gave birth to the children, they just died and disappeared. So it meant that Krishna was in the situation to protect Arjun. He had to go with Arjun to search. And then they went everywhere, and then eventually they went to see Mahavishnu. And we understand that Mahavishnu had contrived that situation because he wanted to see Krishna and Arjun. Now, Mahavishnu, as it's also described here, that Prabhupada says that he says his pastimes are wonderful even for other incarnations of the Lord, such as Ram, the Srimavaraha. His opulence was so super excellent that his pastimes were adored even by the Lord of Vaikuntha, who is non-different from the Krishna himself. Mahavishnu, and you know, then there is Vaikuntha within the material universe, where Aniruddha, super soul, presides also, the super soul, and all the various incarnations of the Lord are coming through, you know, Vishnu. So that Mahavishnu or Shiradakshaya Vishnu or Gavadakshaya Vishnu, they perceive all of the avatars, all the incarnations of the Lord, but they're very, very attracted that this form of Krishna is, you know, above all. You know, they are, all the avatars are coming. So, so these here, as we said, this is not just Uddhava speaking, or, you know, as we said, Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. These descriptions are there in the Vedic literatures, in the Puranas, and you know, the Mahabharata, and you know, these descriptions of Krishna are corroborated throughout the whole Vedic literatures and by the great acharyas who can, you know, situate it in pure devotional service. So here Uddhava is speaking, and as it describes here, These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, his Sri Krishna's transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. So, therefore, we see that Krishna's form, that when it is decorated with ornaments, those ornaments become beautified by being placed, in association with the transcendental body of the Supreme Lord. So, so beautiful is that form of Krishna that even the Lord of Vaikuntha and even Narayan himself ever seeking the opportunity to perceive that beautiful form of Krishna. Even though Narayan is Krishna himself, Narayan or Mahavishnu, Krishna himself. Krishna's full beauty becomes fully manifest in his features, Krishna. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. Nityabada means that you can't trace out the beginning, so they've been conditioned since time immemorial. You can't trace out how long they've been conditioned, in the material world. And Nityabada also indicates that their situation in the material world will continue endlessly. Unless, of course, they hear the pastimes of Krishna from a bona fide spiritual master. So therefore Krishna says, if in the Bhagavad Gita, if one can understand the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, if one can understand that, then one does not take birth again. Otherwise, every action we perform without God consciousness simply perpetuates being stuck in the cycle of birth and death, and all the knowledge that we gain simply perpetuates us, our existence in the cycle of birth and death. So we're eternally conditioned in that respect. You cannot trace out since time immemorial, and as far as you go in the future, that living entity will remain in the material world unless they take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they're always conditioned. They can't liberate themselves only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. That part there, in the Vaikuntha lokas, the Lord is merciful toward the liberated or nitya mukta living entities, but in his pastimes in the mortal world, he is merciful even to the fallen souls who are nitya bada or conditioned forever. So this is, again, Srila Prabhupada summarising perhaps one of the most important items for us to understand about how the form of Krishna is even more glorious than the Lord's form in Vaikuntha Loka, and that is his merciful pastimes, just being distributed, just like, we distribute Krishna book and, we try to help people to understand Krishna. Especially in this Sankirtan movement by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Krishna, he came and, amidst all the conditioned souls, and he manifested his pastimes. For anyone to perceive those pastimes, and then if they perceive those pastimes or hear about Krishna and surrender unto him, then they become Nitya Siddha. But because they were unable to understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they confuse him to be an ordinary human being. Therefore, he decided to appear again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to make the whole process very easy. And instead of saying, you know, you surrender unto me and then, you know, I will let you go back to the spiritual world, he just said, you know, you just chant Hare Krishna, eat prasadam, dance, hear, just very, very simple. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made things very, very simple to distribute the mercy that Krishna intended to distribute, this mercy all over the universe. People didn't take it up. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, he has devised a very attractive way. He came with his weapons, and when Krishna appeared, if someone didn't surrender, he would cut their head off. Mm-hmm. They were killed. You know, it was millions and millions of people killed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his weapon, Prabhupada said, what is his weapon? This ISKCON movement. This is the weapon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Sankirtan movement is a weapon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is so attractive. People have no real intention to, let me go out today and I'll become self-realized. You know, beautiful sunny day. Yeah. Let me go out and become completely God-realized. You know, I could earn some money, I could have so much sense, go to vacation, go to the movies, go to Luna Park, you know, go to Disney World. No, I'll become God-realized. No one is doing that. But ISKCON is so attractive. It's like a weapon that kills their demoniac, cravings for sense gratification and what have you, and just makes them become caught up in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. These pastimes of the Lord in the material world, you know, they have that feature also, which is not there in Vaikuntha. So we're very fortunate. You know, we can actually experience something in ISKCON. You know, people might think, oh, can't wait to go back to Vaikuntha, can't we? No. We're here in the Sankirtan movement. You know, there is something here that is not found there in Vaikuntha, the nectar. Krishna is, his pastimes are being distributed. Everyone can dance and chant and absorb themselves in the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. That nectar is there for those who take that special nectar. You go back to Vaikuntha, you miss out.
You've said there are three?
Prakat, Aprakat, and Goloka.
Why do you separate Goloka from Prakat and Aprakat?
Because we understand there is Bhava Leela, the pastimes in the material world, mm-hmm. the mortal world. And then there are the pastimes in the spiritual world, in the upper world, the mm-hmm. world. And within the material world, there are pastimes manifested, and then there are other pastimes like Rupa Goswami Pad, you mentioned, or specifically mentioned.
Well, you're distinguishing that if we somehow the pastimes of the Lord become visible to us while we're in this material world, that somehow that's distinguished from the pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world.
No, I'm not implying that.
So therefore there's two. There's prakat and aprakat. Because the pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world is that abode is non-different from his abode in this material world. By his yoga maya potency, that same abode is manifested in such a way that there is, those pastimes are manifested in conjunction with those who are residing in the material energy. But they're non-different. It's the same spiritual world that they're perceiving. It's not that there's some pastimes we see here, but that's different from the spiritual world. There's two, three. There's two. There's prakat, aprakat. Just like when Lord Brahma went to Dwarka, and he wanted to see Krishna, and the gatekeeper said, "Oh, Brahma's here at the gate. He wants to see you." And so Krishna said, "Oh, which Brahma's that?" And which Brahma's that? So he went, "Which Brahma are you?" "Oh, I'm the four-headed Brahma," he's thinking. "Which Brahma? You know, I'm the only Brahma in this universe." He said, "Yeah, bring him in." So when he brought in Brahma, Brahma inquired, "So, why do you ask which Brahma? I'm Brahma from this universe." He said, "Each universe, there are practically unlimited universes, material universe, in each one there is a Brahma, some with 10 heads, some with 100 heads, some with 1,000,000 heads." And then he called them. And they all came and bowed their head to Krishna. So each Brahma was thinking that in my universe, I am coming to Krishna to bow my head. Same Krishna, and they're thinking, "Now in my universe, Krishna is manifest to me, and I'm coming to bow my head." That's the prakata. That's prakata. Krishna is manifest. But that same Krishna is the same Krishna in each universe. There's no difference. And that same Krishna is the same Krishna who resides in Vrindavan. They're the same person. So there's prakata and aprakata. There's not three. But what was your question?
My question is, the past time we find the battle of Kurukshetra, that doesn't happen in the spiritual world.
No.
So there's a past time that are limited to this world. my question was, there is this varieties within these eternal pastimes. Understanding that Krishna is eternal, his associates are eternal, his abode is eternal, and his pastimes are eternal. Some are happening here, some are happening there, but they are eternally happening.
Mm.
And in the purport, Prabhupada writes that very interesting statement that the pastimes of this world are even more wonderful than the pastimes of Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
So my question was that when we try to understand
you won't understand. we try to understand. But you go on.
So when Srila Prabhupada is writing that these pastimes are even more sweeter than the pastimes of Vaikuntha, does that also imply that the pastimes of Krishna in this world are sweeter than pastimes in the spiritual world? Or
they're the same pastimes that Krishna manifests in the spiritual world, but because he is performing pastimes within this world, they're enacted so that they're suitable for our vision, but they're the same pastimes. So therefore, for instance, You know, if Krishna were to, Krishna always resides in Vrindavan. He never leaves. But for us to get a sense of the separation of Krishna, it appeared that he got on a chariot and left. So, you know, in the spiritual world, he doesn't necessarily get on a chariot and leave Vrindavan. Krishna actually didn't leave Vrindavan. But, you know, for us to hear about and write about and, see Krishna as he's acting in an ordinary human way, these things are there in his Bhoma-lila pastime, some things which may not be there in the spiritual pastime, therefore there's no disappearance of the Yadu dynasty and so many different things. He may not necessarily, have to, kill the seven bulls in order to attain, one of his wives, what have you. But those pastimes that he manifests are eternally happening in the material world. So Krishna doesn't grow in the spiritual world. He's eternally, youthful. He's always, 16 or so, and that is his eternal form. He doesn't, grow from a little baby to like that. His baby form, that childhood form, is one of the forms that he manifests eternally for his pastimes in the material world, like that. And just like we've had Janmashtami, we just had Janmashtami here, and somewhere, in India they have Janmashtami, and then the next day we have Janmashtami, like that. And actually, then in another universe, they're celebrating Janmashtami in their India, and then the next day, the other side of the world, they'll be celebrating. So these eternal pastimes, it's like, if you want to celebrate Janmashtami eternally, you can do that, follow Krishna through his different universes. But so some aspects of his pastimes are actually manifested to demonstrate his human-like activities. They're very suitable for his pastimes. And by manifesting those human-like pastimes, they gradually allow us to enter into that mood that is there, which is in the spiritual world. And sometimes, different personalities may actually take, certain roles with Krishna as they become elevated to enter into the pastimes of the Lord. Krishna's eternal associates come down, and then some associates who have been there in their last birth, ready to go back to the spiritual world, in that birth, they're getting trained up by associating with the devotees in the particular mood of serving Krishna, and some of them may take the various roles of Krishna's associates there. And so he may have some associates here. Someone may be Queen Kunti, someone may be Draupadi, someone may be various personalities like that. And then other persons may be elevated to those roles in another universe. Just like on the Battle of Kurukshetra, described that everyone went back to Vaikuntha. That means when he has the Battle of Kurukshetra in another universe, then there'll be another Bhishma and another this one and another that one. These people will associate with Krishna in that eternal pastime, then they'll go back to Godhead. But it's the same. It's the same pastime. It's the same Krishna. But there are, so that Damodar Leela, Krishna appearing in a little baby form, that you see here in his pastimes in the material world. You won't see that in Vaikuntha, and it's not manifested in Goloka Vrindavan. No, no, they cannot. There was a discussion with Prabhupada with this. The question is that, you know, certain associates like, you know, Arjuna, Draupadi, personalities like that, they're eternal associates of the Lord, and a conditioned soul can't take their position. That's exactly right. Prabhupada described it like this. So therefore, he described that, he said, when I travel to a different temple, he said, each temple I go to, I have a whole set of, you know, there you'll find a temple president, someone might, I might take some. He takes some. He might take one or two servants, but when he gets to a temple, there'll be people who are cooking for him, there'll be people who are doing this for him, there'll be people organizing yajnas for him, there'll be people organizing deity worship, there'll be people are doing so many things. And when he goes to the next temple, he may take some with him, but there's another whole set of personalities who assist him. And he said Krishna is just like that. And he actually described even personalities like, sometimes in parental role and all these different personalities, they also appear as a whole set of associates. So sometimes they will travel, you know, the same person goes with him, and sometimes there are other eternal associates of the Lord. In other words, for instance, say we say that a certain personality associates with the Lord, that person is an eternal associate because no one else can perform that intimate pastime with Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj appeared to fulfill the pastimes of Lord Narasimhadev. He's an eternal associate. He's a Nitya Siddha. Prahlad Maharaj appeared to complete those pastimes. A conditioned soul could never do what Prahlad did. You throw him in a thing of oil, you try and trample. No one can do that. An eternal associate of the Lord, yeah, kill me if you want. Yeah, try and burn me, try and stab me, try and do the eternal, yes, God is my, like that. So that doesn't mean, that means that only these eternal associates can perform those pastimes. It doesn't mean that Krishna cannot have a set of eternal associates that when he goes to various universes, there may be a different set of eternal associates completing that pastime. So we're not saying that, you know, it maintains both, that the eternal associates and they, you know, have a certain mood and a certain relationship, but at the same time Krishna can have unlimited sets of devotees to perform these pastimes eternally. That's the example Prabhupada gave when he was asked the same question. Yes, Krishna's. It says in the Bhagavad Gita. You read the Bhagavad Gita. You should know. What does he say? What is that verse? You're not reading the Gita. You know, when all is annihilated in this world, that part remains as it is. Yeah? That's the ABCs, Bhagavad Gita, and there are many stories in the. You know, the Puranas, just like Markandeya Rishi, when he was at devastation and he was, trying to survive in the ocean of devastation for millions and millions of years. And then he came across this little island. On this island, it was a beautiful, abode, which was actually non-different from the Lord's dham, as it was considered to be Purushottam, etc. It has another name, but it was Jagannath Puri. It's also, there the Lord was lying there, underneath a big tree, and he had his toe in his mouth, and he was relishing his own lotus feet. You know, even Krishna himself relishes his own pastimes. You know, his that. But the, everything had been, but that abode was there. You know, so it is not destroyed, never destroyed. It's eternal, not different. Yeah. Krishna says that. Any other questions? So it gives you, you know, here's one verse. It gives you so much, you know. How much is there? See, people, generally what do people do is that, you know, my parents worship Ganesh, so, you know, to me, Ganesh is supreme. You know, my parents worship Kali. You know, well, I was born in this country. I will worship this one, you know, Allah, Jesus, Jehovah. This is where I was born. I'm not going to question. I'm not going to research any more than that. Everyone here that I know, they're all doing that according to my birth and the circumstances. I will never ask another question outside of that. But if you want to ask a question, let us understand the different manifestations of God fully. Then that is the Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. Hmm. So I all worship the Prabhupada.